Taking Stock, Investors Jump Back into Equities.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Stock prices are ending the year at their highest level since the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. Markets both here and in Europe have enjoyed a powerful pre-Christmas rally. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
No mystery about what's driving the rally. With rock-bottom interest rates, investors are desperate to get a better return for their money. And currently, that's to be found in shares. Fears of a double-dip recession have receded. Company profits look secure. Richard Hunters with British stockbrokers Hargreaves Lansdowne. He says much of the global stock market optimism derives from the US, the world's biggest economy. Hunter says investors have been impressed by the resilience of American consumers.
In terms of the Christmas period, early indications are that it's been a very robust trading season in terms of retail, which of course means that earnings expectations could surprise on the upside.
He admits that many risks remain, not least here in Europe, where the danger of a government debt default has not gone away. And one prominent market bear says, don't be fooled by the pre-Christmas rally. We're entering a new phase of madness. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Madness maybe, but investors in the US and Europe have seen the biggest December gains in more than a decade. Not that you'd know it from this morning's markets. Markets that are open today are in full Santa slump mode. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 0.2%. London's FTSE is off 0.25%. U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.1% to close at 11,573. And ratings agencies seem to be getting their Grinch on this holiday season. Fitch has just downgraded Portugal's debt rating. That follows on the heels of debt downgrades for Hungary and Ireland. A debt downgrade makes it more expensive and more difficult for countries to borrow money.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Drug companies paid a record $4.5 billion in fines and settlements this year. About half of that went to one crime, off-label drug marketing. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
Off-label marketing is when a company promotes a drug for a use that's not been approved by the FDA. The antipsychotic Seroquel is approved for just bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. AstraZeneca has been accused of boosting sales by promoting the drug to treat autism, anxiety disorder, and other common conditions. The company paid $500 million to end that investigation. Novartis, Allergan, and other drug makers have also paid big off-label marketing fines this year.
The return on investment is so high that the fines to date have been a reasonable cost of doing business for them.
Adrian Few Berman analyzes drug marketing at Georgetown University Medical Center. She says big fines don't change behavior. The Department of Justice may concur. The agency's promised to start suing drug company managers, not just their companies.
When people are personally held responsible, I think that will make a difference in corporate cultures.
Last month, a lawyer for GlaxoSmithKline was sued for obstructing an off-label investigation. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Shoppers are expected to flood malls and stores later today. Americans have procrastinated holiday shopping this year like never before, hoping for last-minute deals. And retailers have been pulling out all the stops to try and stand out. Land's End has even started connecting customers with sales reps through online video chats. From Birmingham, Alabama, Gigi Duban has more.
The thing about shopping for jeans is that there are so many choices. Skinny, relaxed, bootcut. But none of this phases Cherie Martin. She's one of the brave souls who buys her jeans online.
Yes, I'm brave. But I tend to do a lot of online shopping for clothes, and I'm pretty good about knowing what fits.
She's shopping for her latest pair using Land's End's new video chat. It takes Martin a few minutes to find the chat. Finally, Madison appears. She's a customer service rep. It's a one-way video chat, so Cherie can see Madison.
Okay, hi, Madison.
Hi.
I'm Cherie.
Hi.
Once we connect, Madison is all ears, bright-eyed and nodding. She schools Cherie about the intricacies of vintage jeans.
I think the vintage indigo probably is the middle of the road.
Okay. Lands' End is owned by Sears Holdings Corp., which has been experimenting with new online retail models. The key demographic for Lands' End is women 35 to 54. It's a group comfortable with the idea of e-commerce, but still prefers face-to-face interaction. Joan Conlon oversees customer service for Lands' End.
So when you think about shopping and you have, you know, that person in the store, retail store, that's helping you out, it's kind of that experience that we wanted to emulate.
Which for video sales reps means no smirking, no quiet huffing, definitely no rolling of the eyes. And that's part of what makes video chat a bit risky, says Wendy Liebman, analyst and CEO of WSL Strategic Retail.
Well, it's risky like Skype. You could look really ugly that day. That could be a worry, you know. you've got to have your lipstick on straight.
Mostly, though, Liebman says video customer service reps need to be able to answer questions quickly so that ultimately customers buy something, just like in a real store. Over the coming months, Lands' End will be rolling out video chat kiosks at real stores, including Sears. But until they switch to two-way video capability, which they say they might one day, they still can't answer one question. Will these jeans make my butt look fat? In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, the 12 days of Christmas are getting pricey. Everybody's favorite true love slash sugar daddy will be shelling out more than $23,000 for his 12 gifts this year. That's a 9% price jump over last year. According to PNC Wealth Management's 12 Days Index, those five golden rings are 30% more expensive than last year, about $650. Also soaring, French hens and turtle doves. The hens more than doubled in price. Prices that did stay flat, the eight maids of milking. They earn minimum wage. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The gift card. Oh, so practical, but is it soulless? Does it just miss the point?
It has totally undermined the entire purpose of exchanging presents.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the politics of gift giving and the numbers for the 12 days of Christmas as well. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.